When your eyesight is at stake, it pays to travel to one of the world's leading eye surgeons. Dr. Johnny Gayton is an author, speaker, Christian leader, and a renowned surgical eye expert. Whether it's cataracts, PRK, LASIK, or implanted lenses, when only the best is needed, see Dr. Johnny Gayton at eyesightassociates.com.
Hello, this is Matt Slick from the Matt Slick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Gentlemen, the following contest is set for one fall. Introducing first, from Lithuania, he weighs 123 kilos, the Russian Nightmare, Nikita Koloff.
Welcome to another episode, Q&A with Koloff, the Devil's Nightmare. Paul Wilson, welcome to Q&A with Koloff.
Hey, good afternoon.
Well, it's great to have you, Paul, on the show, and I was excited to have you on. You know, we had met recently, had some lunch together, and we've not known each other all that long, but I thought it would be interesting for those listening to the show today to hear how we first met. Why don't you share just a little bit of that story?
Oh, sure. Well, been a lifelong fan of the old Crockett days, living in right outside of Charlotte, in the town Rock Hill, South Carolina. So me growing up in the 80s, all my buddies, myself included, high school friends, wrestling was a big deal and around here, and you used to come to the Winthrop Coliseum here in town and for TV tapings and events, and we went to Charlotte a good bit to see you, and just always a huge fan, and you know, just had watched you through the years with what was going on in your life and all, and just had come to some difficult times in my life and reached out actually to you going through your website, and just kind of sent a prayer request and told you what I was looking for and trying to do, and if you could help me in any way, I would appreciate it. And I really was shocked and received a text message from you, and from then on we've done lunch and talked quite a bit, and really helped me out tremendously.
Yeah, and so, and I want to touch on that for in just a moment, because you had, I mean, and it's been interesting because, you know, several over the just a period of weeks, I've gotten several types of those, you know, requests, and that's not uncommon for me to have, you know, prayer requests come in. You know, try to be very bold in my faith and, you know, not shy away from it, not be ashamed of the gospel, and, you know, whatever arena I'm in, you know, not be overbearing with it, but while at the same time, you know, just, you know, be a witness for the Lord in whom I love, right? And so, you know, when you reached out and said, you know, talked about some of your, you know, your personal struggles and that you needed the Lord and you wanted to have a relationship with Him. And so, you know, that certainly caught my attention, and certainly considered any time, whether I'm preaching at, you know, in a church service and somebody responds to an altar call, or, you know, I receive an email such as yours, and to be able to have that conversation and share what faith in Christ looks like, and then for you to make that decision and say, I want that, I need that, I want that, was an incredible privilege and an honor for me to really kind of, I guess you say, lead you, you know, down that path and lead you, you know, in what that looked like, and you making that decision and praying and receiving Christ was certainly one of the greatest honors anyone could ever have. And so that led then, that from that conversation over the phone, I was in Rock Hill not long ago, and I thought, well, let me reach out to Paul, and maybe there's an opportunity to meet him face to face. And so we did, right? We had lunch together and got to break some bread together and just hear a little bit more of your story. And you're in Rock Hill, married, right? Got a godly wife, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I've been married, will be 27 years, I believe, this coming August. And we went to high school together. Yeah, she's, you couldn't find a better person for your son to marry, or I hope my son's marry someone just like her, or find someone just like her.
Someone like your wife. Yeah, and I know you shared some of that story, and you mentioned sons. You got two, right? Two sons?
Yes, sir. I've got both in college, one getting ready to start, and one on his senior year, and so 25 and 18.
And what are their names?
Grant and Zach.
Grant and Jack. And what's your Zach. Bride's name?
My wife's name is Karen.
Karen. And so it's been... I'll bet since our conversation, I know, and we've continued to to talk back and forth, whether it's been through text or and or conversations, that I know you had told me, you had said you and your wife had started doing a divorce since that prayer and that conversation. You and your wife had started doing a devotional together, I think, for the very first time as well, right?
Yeah, very first time. Started, and it's kind of a devotional workbook, worksheet each day with, reading scripture and talking about things and praying together, which is something I've never done. That's been a huge blessing that I'm very thankful for.
Well, and so certainly making strides and baby steps in your newfound faith, and I'm sure Karen is thrilled about your decision. And you brought something up. I want to make a highlight just for a moment for our listeners out there. With the divorce rate being as high as it is, 50%+, the numbers are somewhere in that neighborhood. You talked about praying together, you and her praying together. And I saw a recent statistic that said for couples that pray together, certainly pray for each other. That's important, and you should do that. I encourage men to do that. Pray for your wife, pray for your children. I pray for my grandchildren all the time on a daily basis. But praying with your wife, statistically, I found there's only one out of every 36,000 marriages end in divorce with couples that pray together. Only one in every 36,000 marriages. So that reduces that 50% divorce rate down quite a bit if you're doing the math on that. And so you're a man out there, and you're not praying with your wife. I would really want to challenge you and encourage you at the same time to consider implementing that into your daily regimen and see if it doesn't enhance your marriage. And I know, Paul, over the course of time, as you and your wife do that, it's only going to enhance your own family as well. I believe you're really going to see the fruit of that labor. And so you keep doing that, Paul, okay?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, and so... Now, you mentioned something at lunch. I want to segue transition here for a moment to back to the wrestling. I certainly remember the Winthrop Coliseum very, very well. But you said something to me at lunch. I'm like, you're kidding me. You were really there? And it was, what I'm referring to is the first ever Great American Bash at Memorial Stadium. I know you said you and a bunch of your high school buddies were really into wrestling, and you said a bunch of you guys went to the matches that night, right, at Memorial Stadium. You were at the Great American Bash, the first one.
Yeah, sure was. Actually, it was a bunch of high school buddies. And my oldest brother, he was a big wrestling fan. I was a little more into it, but I wasn't even driving yet. And because I think I just was a junior in high school, maybe a sophomore at that time. And he said, "I'll take you up there. We'll get tickets and we'll go." So I'd never been anything like that. That's actually when I kind of got really hooked.
That was because you said you remember Flair flying in on the helicopter, the whole deal, right?
The Channel 9 helicopter coming in that night.
That's right.
And I remember you coming to the ring with Uncle Ivan and all, and you had some heat.
They loved to hate me, but you liked the bad guys. Didn't you tell me that? You liked the bad guys?
Love the bad guys. Love the bad guys. Yeah.
So at least I had one fan in the house that night. I had Paul Wilson.
You had quite a few. Yeah.
Well, that Harold Johnson, it was the sportscaster way back when for Channel 9, and he loved Flair and loved wrestling. I'll tell you a quick funny story, and we'll get to your questions here in a moment. And he loved Flair. He loved wrestling, which is why the Chopper 9, the Channel 9 choppers flew him in. Of course, Harold was on the chopper. And Ivan and I went down to Harold's office one time. And I found this out later, okay? So for those out there listening, Paul hasn't even asked a question, but I think you'll appreciate this story. And I know you will, Paul. And so we show up at the radio station, and of course, it's the Cold War, and a lot of people, you know, still believed, you know, wrestling was real, right? And they saw us walk in. I found out later security was on high alert. They, like, for legit thought Ivan and I were there to attack Harold Johnson because how he was badgering us on the sportscast, you know, on his programs and stuff. And so we storm his office, and he had this rubber chicken, and he's like, and they were filming this, and he's like, "Ric Flair's gonna wring your neck, Nikita Koloff, like I'm wringing the neck of this rubber chicken," you know. And of course, you know, I fed right into that, and I played into that. Of course, Ivan, you know, was bullet, you know, just went off, and it was one of the funnest episodes I think maybe he's ever had, and he was so thrilled by the opportunity. But so there's a little insight on Harold Johnson and the Channel 9 sportscaster, the rubber chicken. He brought it out from under his desk. So, well, let's segue and transition to, you know, a couple of your questions, and that is what this show is all about, Q&A with Koloff. So fire away at your first question, Paul.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. One thing I've always wanted to know is even though you never left and went to the WWF or WWE, which I was thankful for, we wanted you to stay here, didn't want you to leave. I know wrestlers jumped a good bit back then, and understand it's a business, but you were homegrown here and tied down here. So, but my thing is, in the days wrestling with the WWE and how they reach out, even though you didn't wrestle there, have they ever talked to you about going into the WWE Hall of Fame? And if they have, what would your thoughts be, or if they haven't?
That's a great question, and a nifty question, because I've, you know, been asked similar types of questions. You know, did Vince McMahon ever reach out to you, or anyone from his office ever reach out to you to come there, you know, to work there, and of which they never had, at least to my knowledge, they never had. If they left a message, a voicemail, I missed it. But and I really didn't honestly have much interest in going there and working there. Now, Barry Darso, for those avid wrestling fans that know that name, he wrestled with me as Crusher Khrushchev, along with myself and Uncle Ivan, eventually went there as Demolition, right? Axe and Smash. And he originally informed me he was leaving to go do that and wanted me to go with him. And I'm like, Barry, I'm just not interested. I'm not interested in changing characters. I'm not interested in that brand of wrestling. And I'm loyal to the NWA, loyal to Jim Crockett for giving me the opportunity. And fast forward all these years later, you know, people are all the time on social media. They're like, you should be in the Hall of Fame. You should, you know, and WWE Hall of Fame. And so they've never, again, to my knowledge, unless I've missed the voicemail, they've never really ever reached out to me and any kind of an inquiry. Now, as far as I know, as far as like, you know, bigger names in wrestling, I'm like really kind of at this point, the only one that's never been on their payroll.
Would your company, business, or you personally like to partner with me in supporting Koloff for Christ Ministries, The Man Up Show, and Man Up Minutes? Go to koloff.net and click the donate button. You can give monthly, annually, or one time. God bless you for making a difference around the world.
You're listening to The Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Nikita Koloff here, and I am excited. Did you hear the huge announcement? The big announcement. Well, maybe it's a minor announcement. Anyway, Facebook, go look up my new fan page, Nikita Koloff Fans, and like it and follow today.
If you would like to support Koloff for Christ Ministries, for a gift of $25, Nikita will send you his two CDs, Adoration and Declaration. For a gift of $50, Nikita will include his book, Wrestling with Success. And for a gift of $100 or more, Nikita will include a signed copy of his newly updated life story, A Tale of the Ring and Redemption. Go to www.koloff.net and donate today.
You're listening to The Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
You know, at one point it came boiled down to like Sting and I, but of course Sting, you know, eventually went and signed a contract for a year or two or three. But all that said, so I'm essentially kind of an anomaly in that sense, in that I've never been on the WWE payroll. Now, if for whatever reason, you know, that's a reason why they haven't extended the invitation, I don't know. But all that to say, I would be more interested, honestly. I mean, if they ever were to extend that invitation, it certainly would be flattering, you know, for them to do that. But more important to me personally would be for them to induct Uncle Ivan into the Hall of Fame, because for one reason, he worked for him, but even more importantly, he made history when he defeated Bruno Sammartino in the Madison Square Garden after about a 7 or 8 year reign that Bruno had that belt, and just came short of creating a riot in Madison Square Garden that night. So much so, they couldn't even give him the belt in the ring. Like they had to wait till he was back, like in the dressing room, in the hallways, in the back, to give him the belt, or they feared there would be a riot. And so Uncle Ivan made history up there. And so to me, Paul, most importantly, is I would love for them to honor Ivan that way. He's no longer with us. He's walking the streets of gold in heaven. But I would much rather see him go before me or in my place, if at all, you know, if that makes sense. So
it does, totally. And I totally agree with you. It's a great answer.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. Great question. Thank you. Thank you. Got another one for me?
Sure. And I do have one, a few more wrestling and another about Christ and things. One thing I told you, growing up, our group, we were big with the bad guys, you know, the Horsemen. You, Uncle Ivan, Barry, Darso. One person, and I've seen him around town, and I don't know what your relationship. I've heard he's a sweetheart of a guy, but two guys that, because we actually looked at talent, I mean, really looked at guys that are in the ring, and we always said, man, this guy would make a great champion. This guy should be leading, not a mid card, bottom card, but yourself being one, and you were getting all, you know, you were really hitting your stride. And then the other guy is the Barbarian.
Mm-hmm.
Are you friends with him? I just thought he had so much talent. I really thought he could have done a whole lot more. And he seems like a homegrown guy here in Charlotte, too. And like I said, I've seen him around, met him, and real briefly.
Yeah.
Real nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
Doesn't have anything bad to say about him.
Yeah, no, the Barbarian is a great guy. And we do communicate, you know, for every now and then. In fact, I've seen him, and he's like, hey, anytime, you know, when you're having a conference, you know, let me know. And, you know, I'd be interested in coming, you know, to one of your conferences one day. And so I have been, you know, kind of communicating with him in that way, and just making him aware of, if I'm in the Charlotte area, he's still in the Charlotte area. And yeah, we used to have so many laughs and so much fun together over the years, and traveling, whether it was on the private planes or occasionally up. And I didn't do a lot of road transportation with him. He did that more with Mr. Paul Jones and the Warlord when they were the Powers of Pain. Right. And so he definitely was incredibly, as many of those island guys are, man, whether it's from Tonga or Samoa or wherever they're from, man, those guys are such incredible athletes and so gifted in so many different ways and strong. I mean, Barbarian, one of the strongest guys I know, and in many of them, just natural raw strength. Those island boys, man, and so yeah, it would have been. He's easily could have had you know, in bigger pushes, I'm sure, and for whatever reason he didn't. But I agree with you. Certainly an incredible talent, no doubt, and a nice guy to boot, right? So. Great question. All right. What you got next?
Well, this one's a little different. One of the things, and you and I talked about this at lunch, and it wasn't a concern of mine. I was asking you for advice on how to deal with it, because you actually had told me this in the prayer, and it stuck with me, is when you stepped out, forgive me the year, but you left, but I know you were 33, but you got called, went to church service and something calling you, and you got saved and started living your life that way and born again Christian. And did you ever, after the fact, have like naysayers in your family or your circle of friends in wrestling of kind of thinking, you know, not believing you were totally in it or weren't sincere? Or did you ever have those things, even though in your heart you knew you were? And if you did, I mean, how did you deal with it?
Okay.
Just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, great question. And I think probably anyone, you know, depending on their past, I mean, and especially, let's just say, if they had some sort of, let's just say, checkered past, right? That you know, they have that life-changing encounter, that transformation, that there's always going to be, you might say, naysayers or skeptics, right? And many times it's those closest to you, family members, right? Like, yeah, right. I grew up with you. I know who you really like, you know, what you really like or whatever. And not always family members, but a lot of times. I would say with my family, not so much skepticism among my family. Now, my dad was a Christ follower. He had given his life to the Lord at the age of 46, and then lived another 46 years. And so, you know, he was fully embraced it and eventually became part of my prayer team and all of that. I actually ended up leading my mom, much like I, you know, led you and had that conversation with you about salvation, led my mom in a prayer of salvation at the age of 76. and so I had that the privilege of doing that with her. And as far as skeptics, I didn't get specific names, but you know, I would hear among the wrestling community, some of my wrestling peers, I guess wrestling in one sense makes you somewhat skeptical by nature, only knowing the nature of the business, that it's, you know, that it's entertainment. And so, you know, word would get back to me like, I heard Nikita became a Christian. You know, I heard he's doing that Jesus thing now, and, you know, kind of thing. And so, you know, had their perspective on it. Okay. Now, how did I handle it? The other part of your question, how did I handle it? You know, I didn't get upset by it, or take offense to it. I really didn't. I'm like, well, you know, you can believe what you want. I know what's real in my heart, and you can believe what you want. And then what I realized was that, you know what, over the course of time, and it takes time, but as I walk this new journey with Jesus out, and I come into contact with some of them and all of them or any of them, that eventually they're going to see that the decision I made to become a Christ follower and build a relationship with him is real. And they're going to know that based on my actions, based on my words and how I conduct and carry myself. And so I believe that over now nearly 30 years later, fast forward 30 years later, that I have done, I like to think that I've done well at illustrating that, showing others that, you know, my love for the Lord is genuine. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. There's only one who is, but nevertheless, that if you knew me BC before Christ and you know me now, that you'd have to walk away and go, okay, what he encountered was real. It was genuine. So, okay. We got time for one more. If you've got one more, we got time for one more.
Okay. This one's kind of, it's just out there. Just not you always just being the Russian bad guy. I guess most American kids wouldn't think about this, but I'm just always curious. Are you a car guy, or what kind of car guy would you be? Did you even care for like muscle cars? I mean, what would we see Nikita Koloff in, Charlotte?
You know, I don't think I've ever been asked that question. It's a great question, and I've got the Christian car guy sitting in front of me smiling at me because Robbie Dillmore, he's got a radio show called The Christian Car Guy on Truth Radio Network. Go check that out if you've never heard it. Go to get the Truth app and go listen to The Christian Car Guy show. Robbie is phenomenal. He spent 40 years in the car business, and God directed him out of that into the world of radio. But all that said, so I'm not, you know, not into muscle cars or you know, super fancy cars, although I need a good solid sound car for the road because of all the travel I still currently do. You know, back in the wrestling days, I was a caddy guy, a Cadillac guy. Daddy's in the caddy, right? I drove a Cadillac for 20 years. That started in my wrestling days because it was a very comfortable ride, a beautiful, comfortable car and a comfortable ride. And so I had that for 20 years. And upon our fourth child, I traded in the caddy for a Ford conversion van of all things. So that was quite a transition in and of itself. But all that said, Paul, as a kid growing up, for whatever reason, I liked Corvettes. I liked Corvettes. And I said, one day, I'm going to have a Corvette. Well, during my wrestling career, actually Road Warrior Animal, you probably remember the Road Warriors, right? Mm-hmm. Road Warrior and Animal and I walked into a dealership near he lived up in the Minneapolis area, up in Maple Grove, Minnesota. And he and I walked into a dealership and said, hey, we want to strike a deal. We'll both buy one if you'll give us a good deal. And so he bought a red convertible, white top, red, a white interior, white top, rag top convertible. I told him, I want a gold one. I don't come to me with any other color. You go find me a gold one. And they ended up, there was only four of them east of the Mississippi. It was a very unique color at the time for that year, 1986. And they found four. And one guy bought three of the four up in Duluth, Minnesota. And they found the fourth one over in Illinois. And I said, go get it. So they went over to Illinois, got the gold convertible, 1986 Indy Pace Car Edition. It still sits in my driveway.
Awesome.
Yes. So, man, that was a very unique but great question, Paul. And, man, I'm so excited for you. I really am, in your newfound faith and your walk with the Lord. And I'm going to be there for you, you know, and anytime, you know, I'm available for you to reach out. And we're going to continue to build this relationship that the Lord has started between us. And I just appreciate you coming on the show today, man, and sharing just a little bit of your story.
I greatly appreciate it, and appreciate you helping me with what I've asked, and taking your time to care and really guide me and help me out. And I really grateful for it.
Well,
and one word I want to say to your audience, and that really has touched me, and I have spread this message and to my wife and my sons, as well as just the word joy. Mm. And you explained it to me in three simple words, and it was Jesus, others, and yourself. Mm. And just really took a lot from that. And I appreciate it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you. Well, God bless you, my brother. And thank all of you out there for tuning in again to another episode, Q&A Koloff. Until next time, have a God-filled, God-blessed day.
This podcast is made possible by the grace of God and your faithful prayers, support, and generous gifts. May God bless you for your continual contributions. Go to koloff.net and donate today.
Hi, Nikita Koloff. Be sure to check out the Man Up Show, now available on television, broadcast, and podcast. Go to MorningstarTV.com or the Truth Radio Network. Check out your local listings, or better yet, download the Truth Network app today.
If you are enjoying Q&A with Koloff, would you help us spread the word? Tell your family, tell your friends, tell your neighbors to download, subscribe, and leave a comment.
Are you looking for the perfect gift for your pastor? Well, look no further. Bless him with a trip to the Holy Land with yours truly, Nikita Koloff, the Russian Nightmare. I'll be hosting this once-in-a-lifetime trip December 27, 2023 to January 5, 2024. Your pastor will never be the same.
Go to koloff.net to get registered today.
Nikita Koloff here. If you're needing to buy a car and have marginal credit and considering using Buy Here, Pay Here, that's worse than taking the Russian sickle. Winston-Salem Motor Cars will put you behind the wheel of a car you can rely on while helping rebuild, repair, or establish your credit score. Conveniently located on Silas Creek Parkway in Winston-Salem, be sure to check them out today at WSMC1.com, because you are number one.
This is the Truth Network.